Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take complex industry shifts, strip away the jargon, and give you the essential knowledge you need fast. Today, we are wading into a subject that feels, you know, intensely human, yet it's being systematically taken over by automation. We're talking about the total transformation of customer success management.
This is such a fascinating topic. It's the perfect nexus of digital disruption because for decades, customer success, the CSM role, it was fundamentally defined by that high-touch, personalized human connection.
And now,
with the rapid rise of digital adoption platforms, or DAPs, and some really powerful localized AI, well, those human relationships are being digitized. They're being scaled, and in many cases, just outsourced to algorithms.
So our mission today is to unpack the source material detailing how these DAPs are not just augmenting, but, I mean, they're often replacing those conventional human functions.
And defining a new, highly specialized hybrid model of customer engagement in the process.
Exactly. And we're framing this whole deep dive using the exact context where this shift is most acute. Technology integrators like Emercom, who serve these massive, complex enterprise clients all across the Middle East.
That regional focus is absolutely key for you to understand. The UAE and Saudi Arabia, they are undergoing some of the fastest, most comprehensive digital transformations anywhere in the world. It's driven by these clear government mandates, like Vision 2030.
So this disruption isn't some far-off theoretical thing.
Not at all. It's a mandated economic reality. It's happening right now in their core customer base.
To really get our heads around the scale of what's changing, I think we need to start with the traditional role, the one that automation is targeting. Let's set the scene with the experience of a professional, someone like Salim Jazini, who's a great representative example of a client success manager at an integrator like Emercom.
Yeah, let's think about his world. Before the full weight of automation really hit the regional market,
what did that look like?
Salim's historical role would be defined almost entirely by deep, high-touch engagement. And we aren't talking about small self-service accounts here. We are talking about enterprise accounts.
Mission-critical stuff.
Mission-critical, highly customized systems. Think large-scale ERPs, core banking platforms, sophisticated cloud infrastructure deployments. His success wasn't measured by volume or efficiency.
It was about the relationships.
It was measured by the political capital and the strength of the strategic relationships he built with executive decision makers.
So the core of that value then is strategic consulting. It's not just operational support. What did that actually look like day to day for a person like Salim managing a massive regional account?
It meant frequent personalized check-ins, sometimes weekly, often in person, you know, to manage that complexity and build trust. It meant conducting quarterly business reviews, or QBRs.
Which are a lot more than just a status update.
Oh, absolutely. In a QBR, he didn't just report on software usage stats. He had to connect the technology metrics directly to the client's core business KPIs and ROI. Things like, I don't know, reducing supply chain friction or improving time to market for a new banking product.
You had to speak their language.
She had to. Salim was the trusted advisor. He was the primary human point of contact who understood not just the product, but the client's cultural nuances, the local regulatory requirements, and their whole internal business context.
And that reliance on a high degree of personalization, on a single human like Salim, to manage all that complexity and maintain the relational depth. I mean, that's precisely the function facing the most significant technological disruption today, isn't it?
That's it. If technology can step in and handle, say, 90% of the friction points, that reliance on a person becomes economically unsustainable for anyone but the absolute highest value enterprise account.
And that's the wedge.
That's the wedge. The digital platforms are making the transactional parts of Salim's job so cost-effective and so scalable that the human time can only be justified when the risk and the reward are absolutely astronomical.
Let's unpack this traditional role a bit more deeply, because the source material is very clear that there is a nuance in the success manager title itself, especially when we talk about enterprise clients in the GCC who, you know, they often demand that bespoke service.
We absolutely have to distinguish between the two primary relationship models that existed before automation really took hold. On one side, you had the General Customer Success Manager, or CSM.
Okay.
Historically, this role focused on maximizing retention across a larger volume of customer accounts. They were emphasizing structured product education, relying heavily on shared resources like mass webinars and, you know, generalized knowledge bases.
This sounds like the manager for a mid-market or maybe a small business segment. High volume, standardized processes.
Precisely. And then you have the role that Salim Jazini at Emercom likely embodied, the client success manager, often dealing strictly with that high-touch enterprise model.
So the differentiator is volume versus depth.
That's it. The client success manager focuses on a smaller number of high-value enterprise-level accounts. Their job revolves entirely around the depth of the strategic partnership. They're managing complexity, political challenges, customization needs that are just. They're far beyond the scope of a standard product configuration.
Right, like deploying a comprehensive IT system for a sovereign wealth fund. That's a different universe than managing 100 small software subscriptions.
A completely different universe. Or a multi-country energy conglomerate. The skill set is just not the same.
And even in this rapidly evolving 2025 landscape, the source material emphasizes that the human CSM's core mandate is still growth. It's all about driving retention, expansion within the client organization, and of course, customer advocacy.
Yes, but it's the skills required for that high-touch CSM that truly define their irreplaceable value before automation arrived. They needed to be a true strategic chameleon.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they require high-level business acumen. That ability to fluently translate technology features into client KPIs, demonstrating clear ROI. They need sophisticated relationship management skills to navigate these complex organizational charts. They need technical proficiency, of course, to use CRMs and analytical tools. But above all,
resilience.
Resilience under pressure. They are the strategic advisor, problem solver, and political negotiator all rolled into one.
And this leads us to the heart of the matter. The sources really illustrate the messy human reasons why that person-to-person interaction was and still is so crucial in these complex B2B scenarios. It's about the stuff technology cannot solve. The failures, the emotions, the relationship repair.
That's where the anecdotes from professionals dealing with these situations really resonate. They highlight these moments where the technology failed or the implementation was flawed, and only a human could actually save the account.
Let's take the experience of Telnagar that was cited in the source material. This was a classic critical incident scenario.
Yes. Telnagar shared an experience where a high-touch customer's time-sensitive project failed on their very first attempt to use the newly implemented system. The tech had a glitch.
Nightmare scenario.
The worst. Yep. And the CSM couldn't just magically fix the code or offer, you know, full financial compensation.
Uh-huh.
But the crisis was managed by putting themselves, the human, in the customer's shoes. They use personalized language, absorb the frustration, and position themselves not as a vendor, but as a trusted advisor to rebuild that relationship from a place of shared vulnerability.
That's a classic relationship rebuilding scenario. A machine can apologize, but it can't convey sincerity or rebuild political capital that was lost during a system failure.
And similarly, Fahim Azimi recounted a constant struggle to fix fundamental mistakes made during the initial implementation phase. All because the customer's unique, nuanced regional needs hadn't been fully considered by the installation team.
So the CSM inherits the mess.
The CSM inherited the implementation failure and had to spend months struggling to fix it strategically, using relationships and internal influence, not just code patches.
The CSM in that case is basically a crisis manager whose primary tool is empathy and influence. And the raw oats example cited by Chris Nang and Han, that one really drove home the necessity of understanding the business context beyond the interface.
Oh, that anecdote underscores the required business context perfectly. It involved a glitch in an inventory management system where a large truckload of raw oats parked outside a factory in the hot sun couldn't be received into the system.
So the product is literally spoiling.
Literally. The technical workaround was found eventually, but the deeper reflection was clear. The system worked exactly as configured, but the integrators failed to truly understand the time-sensitive, weather-dependent nature of the customer's business detail.
The problem wasn't the software. It was the failure to capture the operational reality.
Exactly. As Arina Vatafu noted, the human CSM's job is not merely to answer surface-level questions, but to understand why the question was asked. They prevent the customer from creating false expectations in a leadership meeting based on a surface-level answer provided by a chatbot. They understand the cascading failure risk.
Okay, so before DAPs came along, the high-touch CSM, our Salim Jazini, was dealing with two things automation couldn't touch: strategic implementation failures and the emotional, financial, and political impact of critical incidents.
And that contextual messiness is exactly what automation is now targeting to eliminate, freeing up the remaining human CSMs to focus only on those highest-stakes relational crises.
And this realization that 90% of the friction points that trigger a human call can be proactively eliminated by better design and guidance, That's what fueled the DAP revolution.
Yes, but before we fully transition into the digital adoption platforms themselves,
right.
we need to talk about the core psychological outcome that all successful technology adoption aims for, whether it's achieved through high-touch human effort or seamless automation. We need to talk about the aha moment.
Ah, the light bulb moment. The point where the user stops learning the tool and starts seeing the tool's value to their job.
Precisely. The aha moment is defined as that first key moment when users realize the intrinsic value of the product. This realization, that often happens during early onboarding, is the moment of activation. And this moment of activation is statistically proven to determine whether a user turns out quickly or if they become a loyal, deeply entrenched customer.
What's fascinating here is how the source material translates the subjective emotional insight into measurable quantitative actions. It moves the aha moment from being this vague concept to a concrete metric that technology can track and proactively target.
It creates a success formula. I mean, think about the classic sticky examples that successful SaaS companies discovered by just rigorously analyzing user behavior. For Facebook, the metric tied to long-term usage wasn't just signing up.
No, it was something more specific.
It was the specific action of connecting with 7 friends in the first 10 days. That action was the moment they experienced Facebook's core value, social connection.
That number, 7 friends, that's the threshold for behavioral change. They knew once you hit that, you're locked in.
Similarly, Slack found that sending 2,000 messages was the metric for building a habit that sticks within a team. And Dropbox's activation moment was even simpler, which proves that value doesn't require complexity. It was just saving one file in one folder on one device.
The human CSM might explain the product's value over a QBR, but the technology is designed to force the user to experience that value immediately and intuitively.
That's the key.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me, when we connect this necessity for speed and intuition to the cognitive science. The sources reference Daniel Kahneman's work on System 1 and System 2 thinking. If DAPs are all about accelerating the aha, how do they use this psychological framework?
This is the genius of DAP design. They are fundamentally designed to appeal to System 1 thinking first and foremost. System 1 is fast, emotional, instinctive, intuitive. You want the user's first interaction to bypass all friction and deliver immediate observable value, the quick win.
And that quick win registers as the aha moment.
Exactly. So those quick, visible wins engage the gut instinct, reducing the perceived effort of learning.
The human tendency is to avoid effort, right? If a new enterprise system requires 4 days of classroom training before you can do anything useful, your System 2, the slower, analytical, deliberate side, rejects it immediately.
DAPs solve this by focusing on micro-interactions. Once that immediate intuitive value is achieved, System 2 is reinforced. It gets reinforced by providing the deeper resources, the tutorials, the case studies that validate the user's initial emotional choice. The core purpose of DAPs is to reduce the friction that prevents that System 1 engagement from ever taking hold.
Let's connect this back to Emmercom and their customers. These major enterprise organizations in the UAE or KSA, their systems are not consumer apps. They are complex core banking platforms, sophisticated supply chain tools, major CRMs. The aha moment here isn't just saving a file.
No, it's an entire organizational shift in how they process transactions. And the job of the system integrator and the DAP supporting that integrator is to dramatically minimize the distance between the user and that crucial realization of enterprise value.
Before DAPs, that distance was filled by Salim's team running long tours, mandatory extensive training sessions, and distributing those dreaded thick PDF manuals. The friction was monumental.
And the ROI was delayed.
So for an employee at a government agency in Riyadh, the aha moment might be realizing they can accurately process a complex multi-currency procurement request in 5 guided steps, with contextual help popping up at the exact point of need rather than spending 30 minutes searching a knowledge base or calling the help desk.
That is precisely the shift. DAPs ensure that the critical features, the ones that drive product stickiness and measurable business ROI, are activated, understood, and habitualized immediately. And that eliminates the massive reliance on high-touch CSMs to manually push adoption through endless follow-up meetings.
That smooth transition brings us right to the core of the disruption, the digital adoption platform revolution. And this entire shift is predicated on a vital and, I think, often misunderstood difference in terminology: technology implementation versus technology adoption.
This distinction is so critical because it separates the IT budget from the business strategy. Technology implementation is what IT and procurement traditionally focus on: installing, configuring, and deploying the new tool. The sources note that implementation is about infrastructure setup, customization, and flipping the switch to go live. It's just the technical start line.
But the real payoff, the part that drives measurable ROI and growth, is digital adoption.
Digital adoption is ensuring that users, the actual employees, fully embrace and utilize that tool for measurable outcomes. It goes far beyond installation. It's about behavior change, employee enablement, and integration into the daily subconscious work process. The sources clearly state that digital adoption is the essential building block of digital transformation.
Right. If a large bank invests $50 million in a new ERP system, but the employees only use 30% of its intended features,
that project hasn't succeeded. It has only been implemented.
So, if adoption is the goal, what is the core argument of the DAP? How does it fundamentally challenge the economics of the high-touch CSM model, the one Salim Jazini traditionally exemplified?
The core argument is hyperscalability and automation. DAPs provide automated, intelligent, in-app guidance that operates 24/7. They can instantaneously scale to thousands of users simultaneously, delivering consistent, personalized experiences, which fundamentally makes human-led training and monitoring obsolete for routine tasks. It just cuts the cost to serve dramatically.
Okay, let's detail the four specific pillars of automation, the four key functions DAPs now perform that traditionally fell squarely into the human CSM's lap. Let's start with the first pillar, onboarding and initial training.
In the old world, this involved mandatory scheduled training sessions, often requiring travel or time off the job, repetitive screen sharing demos via video conference, and the distribution of lengthy, easily outdated PDF documentation. It was slow, expensive, and non-contextual.
And the DAP replacement?
The DOT replacement is the delivery of interactive walkthroughs, contextual tooltips, and step-by-step guidance embedded directly in the application interface. The user learns by doing, in real time, within their actual work environment. This radically accelerates time to competency.
So a large enterprise client can eliminate the need for scheduled classroom-style training entirely for their standard user base.
For the most part, yes. And that shift from scheduled training to learning in the flow of work is massive for geographically dispersed regions like the Middle East, where coordinating schedules across multiple branch offices or countries is a logistical headache that requires significant human effort.
Absolutely. Okay, moving to the second pillar, feature discovery and accelerating those crucial aha moments. How did human CSMs traditionally handle this?
A lot of manual monitoring, checking usage reports, conducting those QBRs we mentioned, and then scheduling follow-up feature enablement calls with teams they saw weren't fully utilizing the product's capabilities. A lot of manual effort.
Now, DAPs use sophisticated behavior analytics and AI to, just guide them proactively?
To proactively guide users to key features, exactly. The system detects non-utilization, say an employee who never uses the expense reporting module, and it automatically triggers personalized guidance or an in-app message. It prompts them toward the feature, eliminating the need for the human CSM to manually monitor a spreadsheet and schedule a corrective meeting.
This automatically solves that problem of filling product gaps, where a human CSM spent all their time remediating failures of system design or user training. Let's move to the third pillar, support and troubleshooting.
This moves the whole process from reactive ticket systems and high-cost human intervention for simple, repetitive questions to proactive, self-service solutions. DAPs integrate automated onboarding and searchable context-aware knowledge bases built directly into the app. They deflect support tickets.
And the savings can be huge.
They are. One case study cited a large multinational bank that saw a 35% increase in CRM adoption and a 40% reduction in onboarding time. And that led to a direct saving of $2.5 million in the first year alone, simply by implementing contextual guidance in their CRM platform.
$2.5 million saved just by redirecting repetitive questions away from human staff. That's a concrete illustration of the economic argument. Now for the fourth pillar, adoption monitoring and health scoring.
This used to be entirely manual, didn't it? Usage reviews, detailed reports, and quarterly check-ins, all driven by the human CSM team.
Exactly.
Now it is behavioral analytics and AI-driven insights tracking user health scores in real time. If a score drops, say, a user stops using the system for a week, the DAP automates a personalized interaction, like a guided tour reminder. It eliminates the manual usage reviews and quarterly check-ins for the vast majority of the user base.
So the automation performs these functions not just more cheaply, but also more consistently and instantaneously than the human CSM ever could.
The data is hard to argue with. One e-commerce company saw a 50% reduction in employee onboarding time and a 30% decrease in support tickets after deploying a DAP in their proprietary order management system. Is technology proving its efficiency?
The point of the DAPs isn't to be a replacement for the software itself, then.
No, it's a layer of intelligence on top that guarantees the software is actually used to its full potential. It ensures the business gets its ROI immediately.
Here is where we pivot and bring this back home to the intense regional focus, the Middle East, specifically the UAE and KSA. These two markets are often cited as being on the bleeding edge of digital transformation globally. Why is the DAP revolution particularly powerful and urgent in this region, relevant to an integrator like Emercom?
Because the market isn't just adopting, it is mandated to fast adopt. The economic and political imperatives driving growth initiatives like Saudi Vision 2030, which requires massive societal and industrial digitization, and the UAE Digital Economy Strategy, they necessitate rapid, comprehensive digital adoption. The overall digital adoption rate in KSA and UAE already stands at a staggering 78%.
And their comfort level with new technology, particularly AI, is striking compared to Western counterparts.
It is. The high affinity for AI is a key enabler for DAPs. The source material highlights that 58% of UAE and KSA respondents have used generative AI tools, with 55% engaging with them weekly or daily. That usage rate is markedly higher than in most Western markets. This high digital literacy and appetite for advanced tech make the swift shift to DAP-led customer success not just viable, but the strategic expectation.
Let's look specifically at the financial sector in the UAE, which is a key client base for a massive integrator like Emercom. How are major banking customers systematically transforming the high-touch CSM role?
The banking sector is automating success management systematically. They're focusing on retail and mid-market segments where those high-touch relationships are just economically inefficient. Take Emirates NBD. They embraced AI for operations and customer service enhancement, and that led directly to a 30% reduction in their human CSM team.
While crucially maintaining service levels.
Right, and often improving them. They didn't just cut staff randomly. They strategically shifted routine transactional inquiries that were consuming the CSM's time to automated and self-service portals. The remaining human CSMs now handle only the highly complex, high-value strategic relationships.
So technology didn't eliminate the function. It dramatically improved the efficiency and strategically concentrated the human resource where it was most needed.
Exactly. And you see a similar story with First Abu Dhabi Bank, FAB. They view automation not as a project with an endpoint, but as a continuous journey, moving beyond basic RPA into intelligent automation.
And then we have the case of Qatar Islamic Bank, QIB, which provides a staggering benchmark for automation success.
QIB is a phenomenal example. They are a leader in digital banking with over 3.7 million monthly app logins. The key insight is their model for retail customers. They operate with zero traditional CSM roles for that entire segment.
Zero.
Customer success is entirely reliant on intelligent in-app guidance, self-service tools, and robust knowledge bases embedded in the DAP structure. It demonstrates the commercial viability of the DAP-only model for high-volume segments.
Shifting focus to KSA, Vision 2030 seems to be accelerating government and financial digital transformation even faster. That must create an immediate need for scalable adoption solutions.
The metrics prove this acceleration is mandated and measurable. The Performance Index of Saudi government agencies in emerging technologies adoption. It improved by a substantial 10% between 2023 and 2024, rising from 60.3% to 70.7%. This adoption isn't voluntary. It's a government-mandated measurable goal. When adoption is a national KPI, manual training is no longer an option.
And the emergence of digital-only banks there is the ultimate expression of DAP-led success in finance, right?
Correct. New fully digital banks in KSA, like STC Bank and D360 Bank, they operate with zero traditional CSMs in their operational model. All customer success and onboarding are delivered through automated guidance, in-app contextual coaching, and AI chatbots available 247 in both Arabic and English. This model validates that the automated DAP approach is highly scalable and successful for the vast majority of the user base in the region.
If we connect this back to Emercom and their customers who are integrating complex solutions, a DAP deployed by an integrator must be hyper-successful at localization. What specific regional success factors must these platforms meet that go beyond standard Western software expectations?
Oh, they absolutely must be tailored to regional, cultural, and technological preferences. The sources list three critical areas. First, it must be mobile-first design. The smartphone is the primary digital device in the GCC. 96% of consumers use it daily. traditional desktop-focused tools and screen sharing, they just don't scale here. The DAP has to work seamlessly on mobile.
That makes perfect sense. The entire experience needs to work intuitively on the device users are already relying on, engaging their System 1 thinking immediately.
Second, we have to consider language and cultural preference. Users prefer Arabic language support, naturally. But even more importantly, they favor visual guidance. Specifically, video walkthroughs often featuring local Arabic dialects over heavy text-based tutorials. In a fast-adopting mobile-first economy, time spent reading text-heavy manuals is time wasted.
Which directly undermines the aggressive targets set by national digital mandates. Visual learning is faster and more intuitive.
And finally, the preferred support channel is often non-traditional.
Yes.
The sources specifically note a strong preference for WhatsApp integration for support and quick queries over traditional email or web ticketing systems. Diandami has to embed these cultural preferences to truly drive adoption and reduce friction for the end user base in the GCC. It's not just about translation, it's about cultural integration.
The reason this digital transformation is happening so quickly across the GCC, forcing integrators like Emercom to redefine their human roles, I mean, at the end of the day, it ultimately boils down to the unassailable economic reality, doesn't it? The numbers are simply too compelling to resist.
That's it.
Okay, let's talk brass tacks. We need to critically examine the financial figures that justify replacing human CSMs with DAPs. What is the stark cost comparison provided by the source material?
We can look at the cost to serve per 1,000 customers for those four core transactional functions we detailed earlier. Onboarding, feature adoption, support deflection, and health monitoring. If those functions are managed by traditional human CSMs, you factor in salary, benefits, office space, managerial overhead, the annual cost total is approximately
$750,000. $750,000.
That figure represents the necessary human headcount to service that volume with a high-touch approach.
And when those four transactional functions are entirely automated, delivered by a subscription to a DIP, and managed by a small centralized analytics team,
the annual cost drops to approximately $125,000. This represents an estimated 83% savings on that customer segment's operational cost structure. DAPs are calculated to reduce the overall organizational cost to serve by 40 to 50% across the board.
Wait, an 83% saving on paper sounds incredible, but does the source material address the inevitable human cost? What about the risk of losing essential institutional knowledge, that strategic context Salim Jazini possessed, when you cut 90% of the headcount dedicated to customer interaction?
Yeah, it is the critical question. And the sources confirm that the risk of losing knowledge is mitigated by a strategic shift, not a blanket elimination. That $750,000 cost, it includes roles like basic trainers, tier one support agents, and junior account managers, the people handling the repetitive procedural tasks.
Right.
When they are replaced, the institutional knowledge is codified into the DAP's guidance flows and analytics, making it scalable. The most valuable strategic knowledge is retained and elevated in the remaining tier one staff.
So, the argument is that the most valuable knowledge stays and the most repetitive, costly functions disappear. That saving directly translates into massive productivity gains for the remaining human team members, right?
Absolutely. The traditional high-touch model dictated that one human CSM could efficiently handle only 50 to 75 customers. And why? Because they were spending all their time on tactical execution, scheduling QBRs, writing status emails, delivering basic feature training.
But with a DIP handling all that tactical execution and low-level friction?
That same human CSM can now handle a capacity of 500 to 1,000 customers. That is a 10x productivity increase. It requires a 90% reduction in the CSM headcount needed to service a particular customer segment without sacrificing service quality. The GCC banking example confirmed this trend, noting that recruiting efforts will inevitably slow down across the region as AI handles tasks previously requiring extensive human labor.
For enterprise integrators like Emercom and their clients, they can't possibly automate all their strategic relationships. They still need a Salim Jazini for the most crucial clients. This is where the hybrid model becomes the practical, risk-managed reality.
That is the ultimate conclusion derived from all the data. Customer success must move to a tiered, segment-based approach that allocates expensive human CSM resources based purely on account complexity, risk, and value. This is the future operating model.
Walk us through those three tiers of the hybrid model that the source material defines.
Okay, at the very top, you have tier one, enterprise customers. This is typically only 5% of the total customer base, but they represent 50% or more of the revenue. these highest value accounts still receive a dedicated CSM plus DAP support.
Okay, so the human is still there.
The human is still there, focusing on executive relationship management, strategic business reviews, and customized success planning. The complex relationship repair we discussed earlier. The DAP handles feature adoption. The human handles the political strategy.
The human is reserved for strategy, influence, and crisis management. What about the next segment, the mid-market?
Tier two. Mid-market customers, representing about 20% of the customer base. These accounts move to a pooled CSM model with DAP support. The CSM ratio might be around 1 to 200. Onboarding is automated via the DAP, but a human CSM is available in the pool to be quickly engaged for escalated issues or complex questions that the AI chatbot can't resolve.
A cost-effective safety net.
That's a good way to put it. And then you have the vast majority of the customer base where the savings are really generated.
Tier three.
SM retail, potentially 75% of the total base. This segment is entirely DAP only, meaning zero human CSMs. Success is driven 100% by automated guidance, proactive in-app coaching, AI chatbots, and robust community forums. This is the model already being deployed successfully by the digital-only banks in KSA and the retail segments of major UAE banks.
If we look at the remaining dedicated CSMs people like Salim Jazini who make the cut and are retained for those Tier 1 accounts, how is their job description fundamentally changing from a tactical executor to something else?
Their job is transforming into that of a high-level strategic advisor and business expansion expert. They are freed from filling product gaps and training new users. Their sole focus is now on high-impact growth activities, identifying expansion opportunities, maintaining executive alignment, proactively anticipating existential risks to the account that are too nuanced for simple AI forecasting.
It sounds like the role is elevated, but also intensely specialized and demanding. The new CSM needs to be a master strategist and financial analyst, capable of discussing the client's P&L and growth strategy, not just the features of the software.
They absolutely need business acumen, technical proficiency in utilizing AI workflows and analytics platforms, and resilience. But their relationship management bandwidth is reserved entirely for the high-stakes executive level, making their time exponentially more valuable and aligning them directly with the company's highest-level revenue generation goals.
This has been a profoundly illuminating deep dive into how the scaling of technology, specifically digital adoption platforms and AI, is redefining the value of the human connection in complex enterprise technology adoption, especially in these fast-moving digital markets like the UAE and KSA.
If we connect this to the bigger picture for technology integrators like Emmercom, the key insight is that the human side of technology is not being eliminated. But rather, it's being strategically redefined and reserved for the most complex, high-value accounts. DAPs are proving incredibly successful at driving customers to their aha moments at scale, making the traditional manual CSM approach unsustainable and, well, economically foolish for the vast majority of the customer base.
For enterprise clients and integrators alike, the data from Emirates NBD and the digital-only banks in KSA makes the choice clear. The future is the hybrid model. They must adopt DAPs quickly to service their broader customer base cost-effectively while elevating their remaining CSMs to true strategic partnership roles for their elite enterprise clientele.
This is a strategic mandate, not just an IT project. And we noted that successful deployment in the GCC requires deep localization mobile-first, video-centric guidance, and communication integration via platforms like WhatsApp, connecting the technology not just to the product, but to the cultural context of the end user.
So we've established how DAPs automate tactical execution and how AI is helping the human CSM become hyper-strategic. But let's look ahead to the next disruption, the next frontier that will challenge even that elite Tier 1 human role. Let's leave you with one final provocative thought.
We're moving beyond simple DAPs and chatbots into agentic AI. For anyone unfamiliar with the term, agentic AI means the system doesn't just respond to a query. It takes sequential actions autonomously, runs complex financial or usage analysis independently, and then delivers a strategic recommendation. It effectively mimics the analytical steps of a human manager.
That sounds like a fundamental shift from reactive automation to proactive virtual management.
It is. So the future question for that Tier 1 CSM, that highly paid, high-touch strategic advisor, is this. If agentic AI agents can start autonomously conducting business reviews via chat, analyzing account health across 20 different KPIs, identifying expansion opportunities, and triggering highly personalized predictive playbooks without human oversight, will even this strategic high-touch CSM role for those elite 5% of clients eventually be challenged by technology.
The bar for high-value human intervention just keeps getting higher, forcing the remaining human CSMs to become masters of vision and political influence, not merely strategy. That is the next frontier of customer success we will have to track.
Indeed. It is a constantly moving target defined by the cost of human time versus the scalability of machine intelligence.
We've given you the shortcut to being well-informed on this major organizational shift. We hope this deep dive into the hybrid human side of technology in the digital age helps you navigate your next strategy session.